Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Columbine by Dave Cullen is a deeply researched narrative account of the 1999 Columbine High School shooting and the years of confusion, rumor, and cultural myth-making that followed. Rather than retelling a familiar tragedy in sensational strokes, the book reconstructs the event through reporting, interviews, public records, and an examination of how early news narratives hardened into widely believed but often inaccurate stories. Cullen places the attack within a broader context that includes adolescent life, school culture, media incentives, and the evolving understanding of mass violence. The book also follows survivors and community members over time, tracing the long arc of trauma, recovery, and public scrutiny. Written for general readers yet grounded in investigative rigor, Columbine challenges assumptions and asks why certain explanations become popular, how communities heal, and what the case reveals about violence in modern America. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, separating myth from reality in a high-profile case. A central focus of Columbine is how quickly a public story can form and how stubbornly it can persist, even when later evidence contradicts it. Cullen tracks the early days after the shooting, when incomplete information, frantic reporting, and emotional eyewitness accounts produced a set of explanations that felt compelling and easy to repeat. He examines how tropes such as simple revenge narratives or tidy social categories became shorthand for a far more complicated reality. The book emphasizes the difference between what people believed they saw and what can be corroborated through timelines, documented actions, and later investigations. By showing how errors spread, Cullen highlights structural forces behind misinformation, the pressure to publish fast, the public appetite for coherent motives, and the tendency to frame tragedies within familiar cultural scripts. This topic is not only about correcting facts, it is also about understanding why the myths were attractive and how they shaped policy debates, school climates, and the reputations of students who became symbols. The takeaway is a cautionary lesson in critical thinking, especially when fear and grief make certainty feel necessary. Secondly, the perpetrators and the limits of simple motives. Cullen explores the shooters not as caricatures, but as individuals whose behaviors and inner lives cannot be reduced to a single cause. The book discusses how their personalities differed and why treating them as identical partners can lead to mistaken conclusions. It highlights the hazards of interpreting violent acts through one-dimensional lenses, such as bullying alone, subculture affiliation, or a sudden snap, especially when evidence points to longer planning and more complex psychological dynamics. Cullen also considers how performance, fantasy, and a desire for impact can intersect with personal pathology and social context. Without presenting a neat formula, the narrative shows how investigators and commentators wrestled with motive, warning signs, and the offender's self-presentation. This topic helps readers understand that mass violence often involves a tangle of factors, personal grievance, ideology, desire for notoriety, emotional disturbance, and opportunity. The broader value is learning to resist easy explanations that may comfort the public, but obscure prevention. The book encourages a more careful approach to interpreting risk, one that balances empathy for human complexity with accountability for deliberate, planned harm. Thirdly, inside the day, timelines, decisions, and human response, Columbine devotes significant attention to how the attack unfolded and how students, teachers, law enforcement, and emergency responders reacted under extreme uncertainty. Cullen reconstructs events as a sequence of decisions, miscommunications, and split-second choices, illustrating how chaos affects perception and coordination. The narrative shows how quickly normal routines can become life-or-death problems, finding exits, hiding, protecting others, or attempting to communicate with authorities. It also examines the operational challenges faced by first responders, including limited information, the fear of additional threats, and the difficulty of moving from containment to rescue. By focusing on process rather than spectacle, the book helps readers understand why outcomes can hinge on small moments and why initial reports often contain inaccuracies. This topic also sheds light on how communities later interpret those moments, sometimes turning complex circumstances into simple judgments about heroism, failure, or blame. For readers, the value lies in appreciating the realities of crisis response and the importance of training, clear protocols, and communication systems. The account demonstrates that in emergencies, human behavior spans the full range: courage, confusion, improvisation, and endurance. Fourthly, the survivors, the community, and the long aftermath. Beyond the day of the shooting, Cullen follows the aftermath as a multi-year process of grief, recovery, and public exposure. The book explores how survivors and families cope with trauma, how a community rebuilds routines, and how commemorations and anniversaries reopen wounds. It considers the psychological toll of living under a national spotlight, where personal stories can be amplified, simplified, or disputed. Cullen highlights the unevenness of healing. Some individuals find ways to integrate the experience into their lives, while others struggle with lasting anxiety, depression, or complicated grief. The narrative also touches on tensions that can arise in collective recovery, including disagreements about memorials, narratives of meaning, and the desire for privacy versus the public demand for answers. This topic underscores that the consequences of mass violence are not confined to casualty counts. They ripple through relationships, identity, and community trust. For readers, the takeaway is a more humane understanding of trauma and resilience, as well as a clearer view of why recovery requires sustained support systems, not just immediate crisis attention. The book suggests that listening carefully to survivors is essential to any honest account of what happened and what it changed. Lastly, media, culture, and the contagion of notoriety, Cullen examines how Columbine became a cultural reference point and how media coverage helped turn the event into a template for later fears and debates. The book discusses the feedback loop between public fascination, continuous coverage, and the transformation of perpetrators into infamous figures. It also analyzes how cultural anxieties of the era shaped the interpretation of the crime, influencing which explanations gained traction and which were ignored. By tracing how narratives traveled through television, newspapers, online communities, and political discourse, Cullen shows how a tragedy can be repurposed into symbols for unrelated agendas. This topic is especially relevant to understanding modern mass violence, where attention can function as a reward, and where communities must balance public information with the risk of inspiring imitators. The book does not treat media as a single villain. It considers incentives, limitations, and the difficulty of responsible reporting during fast-moving crises. Readers gain insight into why accurate framing matters, how repeated myths can distort prevention efforts, and how cultural storytelling can shape memory more powerfully than evidence. The broader lesson is that public understanding is not automatic. It is constructed, and it can be improved with skepticism, patience, and accountability. In conclusion, Columbine is best suited for readers who want a fact-driven understanding of the Columbine shooting, including journalists, educators, parents, policy-minded citizens, and anyone trying to make sense of how mass violence is explained in public life. The book can benefit a reader by sharpening media literacy, demonstrating how misinformation spreads, and offering a more realistic view of motive, trauma, and long-term recovery. Its attention to aftermath also encourages empathy and a sustained perspective on healing rather than a brief focus on the moment of crisis. Compared with similar books, Cullen's work stands out for its emphasis on correcting durable myths and for connecting event reconstruction with the social consequences of narrative, reputation, and fear. It aims to replace easy answers with careful reporting and contextual insight, helping readers think more responsibly about prevention, response, and remembrance. For those seeking a comprehensive, readable account that challenges conventional assumptions, it is a worthwhile purchase. If you would like to support Dave Cullen, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.